You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan with the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and joining me today on this beautiful summer spring day is Jim Legault, Chancellor of the Archdiocese, here to talk about some of the public policy issues facing the Catholic Church, primarily in Springfield, but we'll talk a little bit about some federal issues as well today. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Bob.
How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah? Did you get outside yesterday at all? I hope so.
No, my job was to guard the couch while the ball games were on.
And you did a good job. And before we were talking about whose picks are surviving and whose are not. And my wife is doing a lot better than I am, so I'll just end that conversation right here. Anyway, there's a lot going on right now in Springfield, and I think a lot of us who are involved in the process are anxiously looking forward to the end of this week, and it'll give us about a week or two to sort of catch our breath before we go back down there in the middle of April. And there's just a number of issues right now. The governor's budget's been hanging out there for a while, but right now I think really the main focus is on a lot of bills and legislation. That seems to be the way the process seems to work. During the first half, we focus on getting the bills up and running, and some survive, some don't, and that's been the main focus, I think, for the first part of the session. We'll take a break, and then you'll probably the crescendo will start to build on some of the budget issues that have been introduced and really been kind of placed on the back burner for now. But today with us, we are pleased to have with us a state senator from the listening area that encompasses this radio station. He's from the Joliet Diocese and represents part of downtown Joliet, etc. We have on the line with us Senator A.J. Wilhelmy. Senator Wilhelmy, welcome.
Thank you, Bob.
It's great to have you.
Well, it's great to be with you this morning. I appreciate the invitation.
Great. Senator, it's your second term, I believe. You filled out, I believe, part of Senator Larry Walsh's term, if I recall, right?
That is right. In January of 2005, I was appointed to fill out the term of Larry Walsh for just under 2 years, and so I was able to enjoy the entire 94th General Assembly, and now starting the 95th, so this is the start of my third year.
Great. It seems like it's been longer than that, but boy, time flies, right?
Doesn't it fly?
I know. It's amazing.
I'll tell you, Larry Walsh has been a great great mentor, too. He was an outstanding state senator, and I'm just trying to follow in his footsteps.
Yeah, I think I saw him down there a couple of days ago. I think he was running around for something on Will County or something like that.
He was.
Senator, we were talking a little bit before we went to air. Just maybe a bit of you're from that area. You went to Loyola University. And do you reside downtown Joliet, or is it outside of the Joliet?
I'm right in the heart of Joliet.
That's what I thought.
I grew up right by St. Joe's Hospital and went to St. Paul's Grade School and then to Joliet Catholic High School and then on to Loyola University of Chicago. And so I've had some great, great training and education in the Catholic school system, and wouldn't trade in for anything.
Great, great, wonderful. And Joliet Catholic, too, huh? You got it real bad, huh?
Most people, when I talk to anyone outside of this area, they say, oh, yeah, we played your team in football, and we got crushed.
And fill in the blank, right. Yeah, it's usually not a good thing. Senator, we wanted to talk about two bills in particular for a couple minutes this morning that I know you've had a hand in, and it seems like they're up and moving in the legislative process. At least they have some life right now, which is important because, as I was mentioning earlier, some of those deadlines are soon approaching us. One of them affects the controversial issue of stem cell research, and I know actually this kind of relates a little bit to Senator Walsh. There's some legislation pending, which is real positive, I think, for us, for the church, and for all Illinois citizens, that has to do with cord blood donations. And I know on these airwaves we've talked in the past about promoting the use of cord blood and how it has led to some experiments on adult stem cells, which have actually led to some real promising treatments for individuals. And I know that I think it's Senate Bill 19, and I think it's Senator Haynes' bill. He's the prime sponsor, but I think you're on it as well. And I know the other day you were making some comments on the Senate floor in support of it. You want to talk a little bit about that bill and your support of it and what drew you to this issue?
sure. I'd be happy to. You know, this is a great piece of legislation that Senator Hayne has moved. And the reason for that is, you know, every time a child is born, which is a great miracle, we have an 18-month-old, and so we just experienced that not too long ago. There's a chance for the family to keep the cord blood from that miracle, that birth. And when that happens, oftentimes the family, if there is any kind of disease or malady that comes later in life, the family can turn to that cord blood for the stem cells in the cord blood to help alleviate those conditions or maladies. And my good friend Larry Walsh, just yesterday, Bob, we were at a fundraiser for his grandson, Aiden, who's 6 years old, and his Aiden's parents, one of which is Larry Walsh's son, they had the hindsight and the really good judgment to keep their next their third child's cord blood, and that cord blood is going to help Aiden with treatments, because right now he's got some diseases that are attacking his immune system, and the doctors feel that having that cord blood and the stem cells from that cord blood could really make a huge impact on this little six-year-old's life, and really could be the difference between the six-year-old growing up to lead a productive life and not. So I think we have to promote in the state of Illinois what wonderful steps can be made in fighting whether it's leukemia or other forms of cancer, whether it's, you know, MS or any other diseases that attack the immune system or the nervous system. I think that using this cord blood and the stem cells from the cord blood can go a long way. So we're promoting the banking of this cord blood, and we're asking the Department of Public Health to establish some rules and some protocol for how to create these blood stem cell cord blood stem cell banks. And that's the purpose of the bill, and I'm very happy to be a co-sponsor.
And I realize, too, that in the example you gave with Senator Walsh's grandson, Aiden, and I'm thinking that it's possible for other children of that same family to benefit as well.
That's exactly right. And Larry has, I believe, 15 grandchildren. He's one of, I think, 8 kids himself, and, you know, obviously a very, very proud grandfather, a proud father, raised his kids in the Catholic Church, and now here we have this ability through the cord blood from one of his youngest grandchildren that will be able to help Aiden, who's 6 and who's really got a tough road to hoe here.
He does. I know I had many passionate conversations with Senator Walsh about this when legislation was pending, and I could tell this was really on his mind in terms of what he could do to help his grandchild. We're taking phone calls at area code 312-751-1979, and it's the Catholic Community of Faith Radio. We're on the air this morning with Senator A.J. Wilhelmy from the Joliet area, talking a little bit about legislation that he's introduced and he is working on to promote the use of cord blood throughout the state of Illinois. And we're also going to be talking about another issue that he's involved with after the break here, that which should help some funding for some social service agencies. But before we leave this topic, I want to continue on just for a second, Senator Wilhelmy. It's my understanding then, I mean, part of the trick here is it's also a public awareness campaign, and it's sort of incumbent upon the state to make the ability to donate the cord blood more widely known. And that's really the heart of the legislation, as I understand it.
Yeah, there's no question that we need the awareness to be increased, and telling stories like the Aiden Walsh story, I think, is very helpful, because there's a concrete example of how a family can really have tremendous benefit from preserving the cord blood from a subsequent birth. And I think the awareness issue is something that we all can take part in, and you're doing that right now. We're both doing that on this radio program. But going home and talking to those in the health field, and going out and talking to people in your churches, going out and talking to people in the schools, and mothers and fathers, and letting them know that this is a real opportunity to help save lives. We don't know what's going to happen when we have our children. We always pray to God that they'll be healthy.
Right.
But the fact is, sometimes they're not. And when they're not, this is an opportunity to help them through some tough times. And I think you're right that the heart of this legislation is to raise the awareness. and to make sure that the Department of Public Health is doing all it can, raising the awareness and making sure that we have the space available to do the banking and making sure that hospitals are on board with it. And we're all working together. And I think if we work together in that collaborative way, you know, in 10 years from now, many, many more of us will be doing the banking of cord blood at what I hope will be a reasonable cost.
Yeah, and it's also, hopefully at some point in time in the future, this will become so second nature we won't even think twice of it. We have to take a quick break. We're on the air this morning with Senator A.J. Wilhelming from Joliet, Illinois, talking a little bit about legislation on cord blood. We're also going to talk a little bit about legislation that helps some social service agencies in our state. And at the half hour, we'll be making a transition to talk about immigration reform and some of the efforts that we're involved with on that topic. This is Bob Gilligan. I'm with Jim Legault. The phone number is area code 312-751-1979, and we'll be back after this brief message.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Here's an invitation for men in the Archdiocese of Chicago to attend ministry weekends at Mundelein Seminary, retreats designed to help men discern God's call to the priesthood. I'm Father Joe Noonan, the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Ministry weekends feature presentations about diocesan priesthood, prayer, and discussion, all aimed at reaching a better understanding of God's movement in your life. For more information about these free retreats, call me, Father Joe Noonan, at 847-970-4845, or visit our website, www.chicagopriest.org. I look forward to meeting you at our next ministry weekend, Friday, April 20th through Sunday, April 22nd.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at CatholicNewWorld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Okay, we're back this morning talking with Senator A.J. Wilhelming from Joliet, Illinois, the Joliet Diocese, talking a little bit about legislation that he is co-sponsoring with regard to cord blood donation. And before the break, we were talking about trying to make everybody more aware about it and not only the importance of it for our own families, but also for research purposes. Senator, I know one of the challenges, I think, for people who are interested in donating cord blood for future uses is the cost. And I don't know if there's any statistics on that. I think it's not inexpensive. I know that. And perhaps through this campaign, is there any speculation about the cost of it, you know, decreasing so people, it becomes more affordable so people can do it more readily?
That's a very good point. And Senator Dillard made the point on the floor that that he has done this and that he has it go right directly to his MasterCard.
Right, I remember that. Yeah,
I believe he's used the figure $90 a month.
Right.
So obviously, you know, you're talking about significant dollars, especially with those who aren't making a lot of money. And I think one of the reasons why this bill is important, like you said, it raises the awareness, and then it also gets us thinking, how do we accomplish this goal at the most efficient and fiscally sound manner? we will need to continue to look at this with the help of the Department of Public Health and with the help of all the stakeholders. And there are many, many people that want to see this cord blood banked so that, like you said, not only for their own families but for research purposes to fight terrible diseases that we need to find cures for. And I'll be a strong advocate for finding creative ways to make sure that the funding can be appropriated for this purpose, and also that if you're a low-income family, for example, you might have the opportunity to have some kind of incentives and tax breaks or just simply a program in place to help make it affordable for your family.
And that's really important to keep in mind, because I'm far from an expert, but the little bit I've read about it, I'm sure the same, is there are certain diseases that seem to attack certain blood-related diseases that attack certain ethnic minorities, and I think it's important that there's cord blood available from all aspects of our society. It has to be a diverse pool, because the research will be allowed to be conducted then on many different aspects of our demographic society.
That's exactly right, and we want to make sure that this program reaches out to all sectors of society and all families, whether they can afford it or not. And I think we'll continue to work on that. I know Senator Hayne will continue to work on that, and I'll be right there with him.
Yeah, I think the bill also calls for up to 10% of the inventory to be allocated for the use of experiment-related purposes, if I recall right.
That is correct, yes.
Yep. In terms of the donation process itself, it is a choice, correct? I mean, you can either you bank it. Is that one of the choices? And then you can also, does the bank determine if it's donated for research purposes, or is it just available for your individual use? Can you specify?
Yes, my understanding is that certainly you can use it for your own individual use, and then at the subsequent time you will have the ability to advise whoever is in charge of the bank that you would want this cord blood to be used for other purposes. Now, many of our families, mine is a good example, we're getting to an age where we're probably not going to have too many more kids.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, let's say we were to have another child and we have the cord blood, at some point we want to make sure it's there in case of any maladies, but we also respect the fact that others might be able to use this and
gotcha.
Don't want to have that sitting there not being used.
Good.
If it can be used for other families, for research purposes, to making sure that we find cures for these terrible diseases.
Good. We're taking your phone calls, your request at area code 312-751-1979, and we're on the air with Senator A.J. Wilhelmy talking about the cord blood bill that he is co-sponsoring along with Senator Hayne from Alton. And geez, I was looking at the co-sponsors this morning. I think just about half the state Senate is a co-sponsor now at this point in time.
I think you're right.
Yeah, so it must be a good idea.
It's a great idea, and I really compliment Senator Hayne for pushing this bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to see we're at the beginning of this process, and I think that's important to note too. We're going to learn a lot in the coming months and years, and we're going to learn how to do this the most efficient and fiscally proper manner. And I hope that it'll help families all across the board.
Right,
Senator. This is Jimmy. I want to congratulate you on this effort. I will pledge here in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and certainly with our other dioceses in the state who have newspapers and other forms of public conversation, public communication, to try to broadcast this in as broad a way as we can as we move forward. I know we've been criticized as a church for opposing other kinds of stem cell research, but this is one area where we can do a lot more as a church, and to partner up with yourself and other legislators who have a good sense of how public policy here should go. We'd love to do that.
Well, that's great to hear, Jim, and I appreciate that, and I know my colleagues will appreciate that. And together, you know, with the Catholic Church's help and with the influence that the Catholic Church has, we can really make a difference in people's lives.
Yeah, and not only that, but our hospitals and other aspects of our ministries as well.
That's right.
We're going to take another quick break here, and I think I want to make a transition during our last 10 minutes, Senator Wilhelmy, if it's okay with you, to talk a little bit about another piece of legislation that you've introduced, which is Senate Bill 1699, which would affect some of our social service aspect of our ministry. This is Bob Gilligan. I'm here with Jim Legault this morning on this beautiful Monday morning, talking with Senator A.J. Wilhelmy about some legislation he has introduced in Springfield. The phone number is area code 312-751-1979, and we'll be back after this brief message.
to know the why behind the what of the Catholic Church's teachings on sexuality and marriage? Do you want to learn about John Paul II's revolutionary message of the theology of the body and how to share this with youth? Then join us on Saturday, March 31st for the second annual Theology of the Body Teacher Training, sponsored by the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. The day will feature Relevant Radio's Theology of the Body expert, Father Thomas Loya, and the Tabor Life Institute team. The price of the training is only $8, including lunch and materials. All are welcome. So join us on Saturday, March 31st at St. Alphonsus Parish in Chicago to learn the why behind the what of the Church's teachings on today's most important issues. To register, call the Respect Life Office at 312-751-5355 or download a registration form at www.archchicago.org.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Young adults spearhead one of the largest Archdiocese of Chicago contingents ever to head for Washington, D.C. for the annual March for Life. We were there to capture the excitement and the drama. The Champions of Faith video promises to bridge the gap between sports and religion as a major evangelization tool for our youth. And the Cardinal discusses one of his favorite topics, the priesthood. We'll have these stories and more coming up in this edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to our conversation. We're here this morning talking with Senator A.J. Wilhelmy from the Joliet Diocese. This is Bob Gilligan, along with Jim Legault, talking about some legislation that's pending in Springfield. And we were talking at the intro about how things kind of work down there, or don't work, and about how there's a number of bills introduced at this point in time. And probably after the break, coming up in 2 weeks, there'll be a segment to more of the budget discussions. And Senator Wilhelmy, I just want to talk a little bit about Senate Bill 1699 and the importance of it. It's been my perception, at least in Springfield this year, in terms of what we're potentially going to fund. There's clearly a lot of attention going to schools and trying to fix that funding system, and you can be on various sides of that issue. And also, the governor's made health care a very, very important issue. But, I mean, if you will, I think one of the, sort of the third leg of the stool here that's really been ignored is the whole social service aspect of what is needed and what is needed to be funded in our state. If kids go to school, and especially people who are in need of social services, and they can't learn, no matter how good the school is, it's not going to really matter a whole lot. And I think 1699, if you want to talk a little bit about that, really what that does is it says to our state is that, you know, we need to also take care of those agencies that provide for the poor, the most vulnerable, the children that need some extra assistance and whatever it is throughout our state. And 1699 gives us a chance to talk about that a little bit.
It really does, and I think you hit on it exactly right, Bob. Rightfully so, we talk about education and healthcare and other important issues in the state of Illinois. But what we need to keep on our radar is that the state of Illinois has asked community providers, social service agencies, to take on some of the work that we simply can't do, and we can't do nearly as well as social service agencies that we have throughout the state of Illinois. When we ask for those services to be provided by the community agencies, we have to make sure that we're funding those agencies adequately and properly. Oftentimes, we see that, in my opinion, some of those agencies are considered last in the chain of order or in the
sure.
food chain. You know,
right.
Unfortunately, they're doing some of the most important work, and we can't let them. The social service agencies, we can't let them be thought of last in the process. And that's why I brought 1699. I think we need to see annual adjustments.
Yep.
Instead of coming back every year, and you know how it works, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Every year, it's, come on, don't forget us, don't
right.
forget us. Well, this would allow for an annual increase, and it's tied to the employment cost index, which is a little higher. And the reason why it's higher is because much of the cost that the social service agencies bear in terms of the increase is because of payroll and personnel and health care.
Right.
So we want to, the purpose of this bill is to keep the discussion moving forward in terms of making sure our social service agencies are considered every year for an increase tied to that employment cost index. And I, you know, Catholic Charities is just one of the many that do great work. And in Joliet, in our diocese, Catholic Charities does outstanding work, and we simply have to make sure they're funded properly.
Yep.
Senator, it's Jimmy. This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart because I was the former, I was the director of Catholic Charities here in the Archdiocese of Chicago for a few years. My sense was that agencies get between 60 and 80% of their costs reimbursed by the state, especially with state wards are involved. Agencies such as Catholic Charities, you know, invest in those services because they think they're important from their private funds. But they also have a lot of services that aren't funded through state services. So, in a sense, they're conflicted about how much of the funds that they raise every day should go to those services that they get no money from the state, and very appropriately so. And then there's services that they contract with the state. And so it's a little bit concerning to the agencies that they're also having to take some of their donor funds and put somewhere between 20 and 40% of the cost of those services back into the state program. So I think this is a very, very important piece of legislation, and I think it'll give us a chance to talk a little bit about, when you talk about community networks and the fabric of social services, there's a lot that an agency like Catholic Charities and other community agencies do. Not all of them are state priorities or state funding.
That's correct. And I think you raise another good point. That is, we have a very giving community in the Joliet region. I know we certainly have the same in Chicago, Peoria, Rockford, and Springfield. Throughout the state, we have people that care and want to make contributions. But at some point, you know, we can't keep going back to that well. We have to, as a state, prioritize these services and allow you to do your work. I mean, so much of the effort has to be geared towards the fundraising piece. And I know that's important, but we also can't continue to put those burdens on the backs of people that are continually asked to give in their communities.
This legislation, like I said, if passed, it would go a long way towards alleviating those concerns. I think you said, you know, earlier, it is. It every year going back and pleading your case, and last year we were partially successful getting a, you know, a smaller sort of a fragmented cost of doing business. But it makes it is. It's very difficult pleading that case every year. And this legislation, I think, it will be used as sort of a rallying tool as we make that transition to the discussions on the budget and what will be funded and what won't be funded.
That's right. And with any cause, if you will, you have to have someone who's willing to take it and run with it and get it to the decision makers with regard to the budget process. And I've been asked to do that. I'm happy to do that. And I will continue to push this issue and other issues when it comes to the wonderful community-based organizations and social service agencies we have throughout the state of Illinois that are doing work that is not easy to do. Certainly the frontline workers are not paid all that well. Mm-hmm. And we have to make sure that the agencies can afford to keep those people. The turnover doesn't help with the continuity of care that is given. You want to keep people there for a period of years, not months.
Right.
And that's one of the biggest concerns that I hear back from Catholic Charities and other social service agencies is the high turnover ratio, the low pay, the concerns about whether those families will have health care. And really, it's kind of a microcosm of the larger debate going on in the state of Illinois.
We got a minute or two before we take a break and let you go. Any other priorities you have this session you want to let us know about? These are two really important ones. But
so many, like you said, Bob.
Where do you start?
But, you know, I've had a great opportunity to work with Attorney General Madigan as well as with House Minority Leader Tom Cross to try to fight a growing concern, and that is internet predators and violent sex predators. And really what we're trying to do here is say, if you're going to use the internet as a weapon like that, if you're going to use it as a hammer to destroy as opposed to a hammer to build, we're going to limit you from your use of the internet to try to talk to teenagers in an inappropriate manner. And we're also going to make it clear that if you're on the internet and pornography is something you're interested in, if you're looking at children in that manner, it is now an aggravated offense, and it's now a Class X felony. Right now, the statute says if you're watching that kind of stuff with people under the age of 18, they don't differentiate between under 18 and under 13. This bill that the Attorney General has asked me to sponsor would look at kids under the age of 13, and if someone's watching that stuff, it's a Class X felony, and obviously there's prison time involved. We need to really crack down on the Internet being used as a hammer to destroy as opposed to a hammer to build.
Good. And that bill number is?
You know what? That bill number is 697. That's the Attorney General's bill that we're working on. It's my bill that I've been asked to carry for the Attorney General. And then in the House, there's five bills that Tom Cross is sponsoring that I'm going to pick up in the Senate. It's House Bills 37 to 41.
Great. Senator, thanks so much for taking part of your Monday morning to be with us this morning to talk about these issues that are really important to the Catholic community and to yourself, obviously. Thanks for your support of everything you do, and we'll see you down there in probably tomorrow, right?
Great issue, Senator.
You'll see me tomorrow, and it was great being with you, Bob. That's and great. Jim. Have a great day.
All right. And when we come back, we'll be talking with some members of the Illinois Coalition and some members from the Catholic immigration reform effort to talk a little bit about what's been going on, not only in Springfield, but at the capitals, our nation's capital as well. 312-751-1979. We'll be back after this brief message.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Hi, I'm Chuck Knapp. Join me for Searching the Word, a live interactive program that equips you with a firm understanding of the faith. Each day, we'll search the Bible, the Catechism, papal teaching, and historical writings for answers to questions about living Catholic life. That's Searching the Word every weekday on Relevant Radio.
That's Searching the Word with Chuck Knapp. Weekdays at noon on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Okay, welcome back to our show. This is Bob Gilligan with the Catholic Conference of Illinois. The phone number, if you want to join our conversation, is area code 312-751-1979. We were on the air this morning talking a little bit about some issues involving life issues, the cord blood donation bill. We were talking about funding for social services, and now we're going to make the transition to another issue that we're involved with, and talking about the very important issue, very important to the Catholic Conference agenda this year, is what we're doing to welcome the stranger with regard to immigration reform. In studio, we have with us Alina Segura from the Archdiocese, who's very involved with the Catholic Campaign for Immigration Reform. And on the phone, we have us with us as well, Lawrence Benito, who is with the Illinois Coalition on Immigrants and Refugee Rights. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Well, you guys have nothing going on these days, huh?
No, at all.
Jeez.
Right.
It's turned into a 7 day a week job, hasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Lawrence, you're out Saturdays. Lena, you're out Sundays. Yeah. We're both all out of it. So we got
you
a lot.
Too.
Yeah,
you too. I talked to you at 9:30 on Sundays.
Yeah, like I have nothing better to do. But it's really, there's so many things going on. I think we want to talk a little bit this morning about what's going on at the state level, because it seems like that's getting a lot of attention. But also at the federal level, we have some developments as well.
Mm-hmm.
I guess probably the most pressing issue right now in terms of perhaps a positive development is legislation, I believe it's House Bill 1100.
Yes.
And that bill would allow for a certificate to be issued for the purpose of driving. And I know, Elena, a lot of the priests in the Archdiocese have been involved with advocating for this. And I know, Lawrence, you guys had, a couple people at the Capitol last week. You couldn't even move. I got a phone call early in the day, and I said, I was in meetings and over in the office, and somebody told me, don't even bother coming over here. So you guys had a few folks down there to advocate for the safe roads issue. And I know that you got some good press coverage in the Tribune last week. And Elena, you want to just kind of go over the issue a little bit with us? And Lawrence, maybe you could tell us where we are in the advocacy efforts. Elena.
Yes. I think this issue about the driver certificates are very important issue, especially knowing that we have almost 1 million people who are undocumented and who are actually in the roads. That's it's a fact. These people are people who don't have the proper documentation. They are, driving every single day to go to work. They don't take driver license classes. They don't pass the test, cannot get insurance, are more likely to flee the scenes of an accident, for example. So it is an issue of life also. It's an issue of safety for the community as well as for immigrants. So this is a very important issue, very important topic that we need to be involved.
312-751-1979. Lawrence, I know there was a couple efforts last week to call the bill. There was we're close, and what do you think? Do you think there will be any action this week, or will it be delayed for the following 2 weeks?
Well, I think we're very close, as you said, with this bill. I think it's going to be voted on Thursday. There's a couple amendments that we need to make to the bill in committee, but I believe that Thursday will be the day that it passes out of the House.
Great. And I know the main sponsor, I believe, is still State Representative Eddie Acevedo.
That's correct.
From the Pilsen area. And who are some of the other prime sponsors of the bill?
Well, we have good bipartisan support. Representative Paul Frelick is one of the chief co-sponsors on the bill, Republican from Schaumburg. We also have David Miller from the Dalton South Suburbs area. We have good representation from the Latino caucus, the Black caucus, suburban folks that are with us. And I believe that we'll have a fair number of Republicans joining Democrats on this bill.
This is an issue that I mentioned earlier. There was a rally down in Springfield last week to advocate for it. And, Elena, I forgot the final tally in terms of the number of buses from Catholic churches throughout the Archdiocese. It seemed like there were it was countless.
Yeah, you probably saw. This was a very interesting, we had a lot of buses from Waukegan, and we have Holy Family and Immaculate Conception, the Queen of Peace was there from Melrose Park, was some Charles Barromeo, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, from these plains, of course, Our Lady of Tepeyac in Maryville, and from Chicago, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Mercy, Maternity BVM, Basil Visitation, believe it or not, they had 3 buses. And then the other buses went with community organizations, like
right.
with Albany Park, with Northwestern Federation, with the Resurrection Project, the SWAP, the Southwest Organizing Project. So we had over 20 parishes participating. It was a very good experience. I talked to several of them. Marie Lou Gonzalez, actually, who is
right.
our consultant, she was there, and they have a very positive experience, even though things, it didn't happen what they were hoping to have, but positive experience in the sense of people now they understand the process. It's a process. Sometimes it's a long process, and this didn't start a year, just a few months. It was a long time.
I know Elena's been very involved with organizing the Priests for Justice campaign and the Catholic campaign for immigration reform, and trying to work with the Illinois Coalition to espouse our virtues in the public square as it relates to this issue. And this is not the only issue that we're involved with. Lawrence, I know that there's 2 other very, very important issues that are pending down in Springfield, and what we want to do at this point in time is get into those after a brief message here. We have to take a quick break, but we are looking for phone calls. If you have any comments or suggestions or want to weigh in on this issue, we're here with Elena Segura from the Archdiocese of Chicago, who's the director of the Catholic Campaign for Immigration Reform, and Lawrence Benito, who is with the Illinois Coalition on Immigrants and Refugee Rights. We'll be right back after this brief message.
Youth 2000 is back in Chicago and will be held Friday, May 4th through Sunday, May 6th at St. Benedict's Parish in Chicago.
Youth 2000 leads young people ages 13 to 30 to a deeper encounter with the Eucharistic heart of Jesus Christ.
For more information, visit missionchicago.net. That's missionchicago.net. Or call Father Steve Bauer at 773-588-6484. That's 773-588-6484.
Join us for Youth 2000.
Celebrate senior life and spirit. Catholic Charities invites seniors to come together in celebration of senior life and spirit. Join Bishop Gustavo and Father Michael Boland at Catholic Charities' annual Senior Unity Mass, May 3rd at 10 a.m. at Holy Name Cathedral. For more information, please call 312-655-7010 or visit our website at www.catholiccharities.net. Catholic Charities celebrates senior life.
Welcome back to our conversation. This is Bob Gilligan. I'm joined with Elena Segura from the Archdiocese and Jim Legault from the Archdiocese as well. Elena is the director of the Catholic Campaign for Immigration Reform, and we're pleased to have on the phone with us today Lawrence Benito from the Illinois Coalition on Immigrants and Refugee Rights. We were talking about before the break about the driver certificates bill, and Elena, I believe that urging people to make phone calls,
people can do it on... Yes, and Lawrence, you can help me a little bit about this too. We sent an alert... driver certificate alert over the weekend, Saturday, and I know a lot of priests, especially I got like six or seven priests who told me that they did this in all masses. So we have, and our target right now is Michael Madigan, for them to make phone calls to Michael Madigan. And the phone number of Michael Madigan, the one that we gave it to them, is 773-581-800. That's the number that we included here in the fax. But Lawrence, you can help me, and also a website. The ICRR has a very, very outstanding website, very easy to access. Could you give the information and also the address, Lawrence?
Sure. Our website is www.icirr.org. Illinois Coalition for Immigrant Refugee Rights, www.icirr.org.
Let's talk a little bit about, we've talked about the certificates issue, and but I also want to talk, Lawrence, maybe a little bit about the, I think it's the campaign is called the We Speak English campaign, and really what we're trying to do is, as I understand it, is sort of lay the groundwork for the creation of a more active area where people could go and take English classes and civics classes to become citizens. And I think really what we're trying to do is to prepare for the possibility that something could happen in Washington between now and the end of this year. It's both in the legislative process, but it's also in the budget process. Do you want to make a comment or two about the campaign and where we are?
Sure. Well, you know, as the feds are trying to weigh in on the immigration issue, we need to prepare our folks to be able to learn English and to know the civics around good citizenship. So we're proposing two initiatives, the We Want to Learn English initiative and the New Americans Initiative, to help people through the process of citizenship. Now, as you know, at the end of the day, it's a small group of people are going to weigh in on the budget, the four tops, leaders from both parties and the governor's office. And while we do have legislation in place for the We Want to Learn English campaign, we need to work on our party leaders to see this as a priority.
Right, and I think this is a big issue for us as well, because it's interesting for us talking about, we have schools, we have the social service agencies, we have the people that can help teach those lessons of English and civics. So this is a real important issue. I mean, we feel real strongly that the church is out in the community. Oftentimes, immigrants, the first place they will go is to some things that they look familiar in their native land, which is oftentimes a Catholic church. So we're present in the community, and we really think we can help in this area.
Yes, that's a very important issue. We've been already exploring with several pastors who are already involved, not just this year, but for many, many years. A lot of experience, and we've been in dialogue with Catholic charities. So we're in the whole exploration of how to participate in this process, responding to these needs. So our Catholic immigrant centers are going to be devoted to how to help people in the process of, you know, citizenship, English second language, and other kinds of services. From our perspective, of course, we're going to do other services as well, which is part of who we are as a church, as a ministry. And this is to serve to everybody, all people, all immigrants, not just Catholics, but our name needs to be very important. You know, we are a Catholic institution, and we are a Catholic immigrant center.
As you can imagine, we have a number of phone callers on the line to express a question about the driver's certificate program. I think they mostly center on the incentive for an individual to come forward who's an undocumented person to have a certificate. Is Paula on the line?
Yes, this is Paula.
Paula, welcome.
Hi, yeah, you just basically said what my question is. I'm just wondering, you know, what would be the incentive for someone to step up and identify themselves to the government as someone undocumented? You know, I mean, I think that would seem risky on their part, you know, and then, you know, that's also going to say, well, they're going to have to get insurance now. No one's really usually prepared to have to start taking on a new bill like insurance or something like that. And I was just wondering what would be the incentive for them to do that?
Actually, Paula, that's a really good question. A lot of people who are undocumented are so fearful right now. If the police is going to stop, what are they going to do? How are they going to respond? So the incentive is actually to give freedom, to be just on or be in the open, to be able to have this certificate, and with this certificate, get insurance, go to classes, and be themselves. So I think that's a very important, you know, aspect of it.
Lawrence, do you want to make a comment about that?
Sure. Well, you know, there are places like in Waukegan, for example, that if you don't have mm-hmm. identification, they impound your car. Mm-hmm. That can cost as much as $500, mm-hmm. and that's given, you know, the fact that if you pick it up that same day. So getting charged for getting your car out of the pound, $500, the extra couple hundred dollars if you have to tow it, pay the parking ticket. I mean, there are municipalities that there is strong incentive to get something to identify you. Otherwise, it's going to cost a lot more money.
And Lawrence, weren't you down in Springfield a couple weeks ago talking with Judge Donnelly about his experience and the numbers of undocumented who are experiencing that very same problem?
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, this is a big reason why law enforcement and judges are behind this, because, you know, police want to know who's on the roads. They want to make sure that they have these people in the system and that they have in insurance. And that's a big reason why we've been able to get the Fraternal Order of Police, the State Police, the Police Chiefs Association, and the Sheriff's Association on this bill. And in fact, they like it because it goes a step further and says within 30 days
right.
of getting a driver's certificate, they need to prove that they have insurance on their car.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think is Sally still on the line? Sally, do you have a question about this issue?
Yeah.
Welcome.
I think it's kind of, in my opinion, I think it's kind of trite because we still keep overlooking the fact that there are undocumented workers in the country and that we need to practice within the limits of the law. And I don't see that just, I don't see it getting any safer just by giving someone a driver's certificate. I think there's a lot of, there are further issues. I think the issues of driving drunk and a lot of other issues really reflect the kind of accidents that we're seeing. I've followed it in a couple of towns through the newspaper and see that most of it is alcohol-related, mm-hmm. that there isn't a lot of safe measures being involved here, that a lot of people can, you know, maim families for life mm-hmm. and purely escape mm-hmm. Some form of commitment to that retribution. I really see that it all begins with furthering the steps to proper immigration mm-hmm. and not just excusing you know, the illegal situation at this time. I think it's wrong. I think the church should not really be involved in supporting that. I think that's there are people who at the other end who are suffering from the abuse of that. So I'll just listen to your comments.
Sally, yeah, thanks for your call.
Sally, I appreciated your concern about safety. I think it is a concern. We as Catholic are concerned about safety in general, and that's a very important thing. And I think why people come to this country, that's another issue also. I think it goes really into the root of why are people here, and how do they come, and what is the real the system, the immigration system right now, that they many of these people come documented, they come with visas, but they overstay their visas, or they come for economical reasons. I would say 95% of people come for economical reasons, and it is an issue. It's a global economy issue, and mm-hmm. we're trying to respond on these issues too.
Yeah, another good argument, Lawrence, is that that's probably the need to reform the system on the federal level.
I mean, people want to obey the laws. Our immigration laws, in the words of our own president, he understands the laws are broken and need to be fixed, and they're trying to do that. But the reality is people are driving on our roads right now that do not have, are not properly trained and do not have insurance. And there's no political will to deport 12 million people, so there's mm-hmm. a practical matter of what do we do with the people that are here, and how, you know, from a public safety perspective, do we ensure that people are trained and insured to drive?
Could I ask a question, Lawrence? This is Jim Legault. Do you have any data which would indicate, I think there was an implication that there's a high correlation between this being undocumented status and you know, maybe DUIs and other things? Do we mm-hmm. have information on that?
I don't have specific numbers in front of me right now, but we do know, you know, roughly an estimate of 250,000 adult drivers in Illinois that don't have Social Security numbers and can't get driver's licenses or insurance.
250,000. We have to take a quick break. They're reminding me we're a little over time here. We have about 7-8 minutes left to go on our show here, but after this quick message. This is Bob Gilligan. I'm with Lawrence Benito of the Illinois Coalition on Immigrants and Refugee Rights, and along with Elena Segura, who's the director of the Catholic Campaign for Immigration Reform. And we'll be right back after, I think it's a minute or a minute and a half message. We'll be right back.
From the moment you see the dramatic cover photo of an angel atop a church watching over the city of Chicago, you know you're about to enjoy a very special book. The Archdiocese of Chicago, A Journey of Faith, is a treasure chest of photographs, paintings, and historic perspective. Every church in the Archdiocese of Chicago is featured. The book provides readers with insight into our Catholic heritage, ministry, evolution, and challenges. A Journey of Faith makes a great gift with more than 340 pages of photos and history printed on gloss paper, hardcover, color throughout. It is available at many parishes, or you can call Liturgy Training Publications at 1-800-933-1800 or order online at ltp.org. So call 1-800-933-1800 or go to ltp.org. The Archdiocese of Chicago, A Journey of Faith. Display it proudly in your home.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you want to serve the church as a lay parish minister? Do you possess the gifts and passion for full-time church ministry? Today, lay women and men are being called to join clergy and religious and serve the church as pastoral associates and directors of religious education. Perhaps you are one of those people. To serve, you need spiritual formation and academic training. And the Archdiocesan Together in God Service program provides you both.
qualified candidates receive partial tuition scholarships and pursue a master's degree in ministry at one of Chicago's Catholic theological schools. But Together in God's Service also provides retreats and prayer experiences to help you grow spiritually and deepen your love of God. If you want to explore a calling to lay ecclesial ministry, talk to your pastor and talk to us by calling 847-837-4552 or send an email to layministry@usml.edu.
Welcome back for the final 5 minutes of our program. This is Bob Gilligan with Jim Legault and Elena Segura. And on the phone with us, we have Lawrence Benito. The phone number is 312-751-1979. And we'll talk a little bit about the immigration reform issue, mostly on the state level. But I think what we want to do now is maybe make a transition to the federal level, because I know this weekend there was a briefing and a bit of a, I'm not sure what you would call it, a rallying session or a briefing session to talk a little bit about the federal legislation that's coming up, and Congressman Gutierrez was there. Unfortunately, I was not there, but I think we have two people who were. Elena?
Yes. We had a lot of people there. It was very good. Our Priest for Justice for Immigrants were present, and of course, because this was at St. Pius with Father Brendan, it was a very interesting, good community presence, and ICRR was the one who coordinated these efforts too. And I think what's very important is last week, Congressman Gutierrez and Congressman Flake from Arizona, they presented new proposal of comprehensive immigration reform. As far as I know, the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops talking with, they are studying more in depth. But in general, this proposal goes along with the basic criteria that we have in the Catholic Conference of Bishops that we're supporting through the Catholic Campaign for Immigration Reform. So that has been a very important meeting. It's the basic criteria is the border security, of course, criminal enforcement to stem drugs and gangs, and employment verification, establishment of a new worker program, increase of visas and earned legalization, the earned legalization program, as well as family unification. Those are basic pieces and aspects of this proposal.
Lawrence, I know you already have been involved a little bit with advocacy efforts in Washington, and I know the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops as well, but gaze into your crystal ball. What do you think? Does the bill have any life, or what's the scenario here for the near term anyway?
Well, you know, in Illinois, we have three other sponsors other than Gutierrez: Schakowsky, Emanuel, and Ray LaHood. So we've got five Republicans on board with, I guess the bill number is H.R. 1645, 29 co-sponsors, Flake, LaHood, and three Republican legislators from Florida have signed on to this. Now, you know, we've got an election year coming up, and there's a window of opportunity that we feel we have the best shot to address this issue. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's going to be close, but I think if in the near future there's a year to do it, it's going to be in the next few months.
Yeah.
And in Illinois, it looks like we have some pretty good support then from our congressional delegation.
We do. I mean, in addition to Schakowsky, Emanuel, and LaHood, you know, we've had strong support from the Congressional Black Caucus on this issue as well.
Yeah, believe it or not, Bob. Yes, Emanuel. Just last week, I was talking with Congressman Gutierrez last Saturday, and he himself was very surprised. Of course, Josh and everybody else were not. There were a lot of things in the district. The clergy of we have like three or four priests met with him and other other ones. They were planning to do something. So definitely, there was a positive, surprise in the sense of Emanuel is supporting. Right, Lawrence? Did you hear more details on that?
Yeah. In addition, Bob, I mean, there was two simultaneous forums on this. Congressman Gutierrez did one, and Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky on the north side also did a forum on this issue, which, you know, had brought a diverse group of people, not just Latinos, but also Africans, Irish.
Yeah, very important.
We're also in attendance.
Okay, so we have for this week we have the driver certificate bill, which could get called on the House floor. We'll see where that goes. We have the We Speak English campaign that's winding its way through the legislative process. I believe that number is Senate Bill 1324, and I know that's going to be a discussion hopefully in the budget negotiations that will be there with the Illinois Coalition to advocate for. And the New Americans Initiative is also in the process of being extended and for another year. So there's a lot going on at the state level, and there'll be a lot going on at the federal level as we kind of go forward here in the next couple months. We got to wind down the show because I'm getting pointed at and told that we're off the air here in a couple minutes. So right with that, I'd like to thank our guest from earlier today, which was Senator A.J. Wilhelmy from Joliet. Lawrence, I'd like to thank you for taking some time this morning. And, of course, to Elena for coming in here at the last minute and helping us explain some of these very complicated issues, and, of course, to Jim Legault. We'll be back during the third Monday of April to talk about more public policy issues. We got a couple suggestions while we were on the air today. So hopefully we'll be talking about those issues and many other issues. This is Bob Gilligan. We'll see you next time.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 820 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.